And we are
We're
being
live.
Recorded. Shut that window. This is the July 8th, 2021 hearing for case appeal of case number Z00064-21-R. My name is Joe Turner. I'm the county's hearings officer. I'll start with some brief announcements and a summary of the process that will follow. This online hearing is reasonable and necessary at this time to comply with the state's social distancing order, maintain public health and safety, and meet state-imposed deadlines for decisions on land use applications. I start by saying I am not a county employee. I am licensed as an attorney and trained as a planner. I serve under contract to the Board of Commissioners. I say that so you know you're getting a somewhat independent review of the application before me today. My role as the hearings officer is to conduct public hearings and make decisions about certain land use matters in Clackamas County. In making those decisions, I am required to apply the county's existing laws. I'm not a policymaker. I don't have the authority to vary from or change the laws. If you think that the laws need to be changed, you can work with the Board of Commissioners and Planning Commission to do that. But state law requires that this application be judged based on the laws in effect when the application was filed. As a hearings officer, I'm to provide an unbiased decision maker, and I believe I am unbiased with regard to this application and appeal. I have not had any pre-hearing contact with any of the parties regarding the substance of the application and appeal, and I don't have any interest in the subject property or any of the surrounding properties. But you have the right to challenge my impartiality, to argue that I'm biased in one way or another, and you can do that when it's your opportunity to testify. As I noted, this is an appeal of the director's determination. The applicant continues to bear the burden of proof on appeal. I cannot give any weight to the, I'm required to make a de novo decision. I'm not allowed to give any weight to the director's prior decision. Procedure will follow. I'll start by asking staff to summarize their staff report, the director's decision, copies of which are available on the county's website. Then the applicant slash appellant will have an opportunity to respond, present their appeal, and then if anybody else appears and wants to testify, I don't see anybody else on here. If anybody else does appear and want to testify, they'll have the opportunity to do so. Then I will give the applicant and our staff and the applicant in that order an opportunity to respond to the testimony that was offered. If any of the responses include new evidence, I will give everyone a chance to respond to the new evidence. Otherwise, I'll close the public portion of the hearing and announce what I'm going to do. Anyone with an interest in this application may offer relevant oral or written testimony. It is important that you testify orally or in writing before the close of the record in order to preserve your right to appeal my decision. My decision is final for purposes of this county, but may be appealed to the Land Use Board of Appeals, or LUBA. But LUBA generally will not allow new testimony and evidence on appeal. They'll decide any appeal based on the record before me. So if you feel it's important that myself or any future decision maker know something about this application, you need to make sure it gets into the record before me. In order to preserve your right to appeal, you or someone expressly representing you must testify orally or in writing before the close of the record. And in order to raise an issue on appeal, someone must have raised that issue before me. If the applicant wants to object to any conditions of approval on constitutional grounds, they must raise those objections before me as well. If you feel you need more time to prepare, you can ask me to hold the record open or continue the hearing. If I hold the record open, you'll have an opportunity to submit additional written testimony and evidence before I make a decision. If I continue the hearing, we can come back and do this again at a later date. If anybody wants me to hold the record open or continue the hearing, you must make that request before the close of the hearing. However, state law requires that I hold the record open for an additional week after it's closed to everyone else for the applicant to submit a final written argument. The applicant can waive that right if they choose. And my decision must comply with state law that requires the county issue final written decision within 150 days from the date the application was deemed complete. So there's some limit to how long I can hold the record open or continue the hearing. When you testify, please begin by stating your name and your full mailing address. Please spell your last name so I get it right. And if you represent someone else, please say so. If you come back to testify again, please state your name again, because it's not always clear from all the little boxes on my screen who's speaking at any particular time. And testimony must be relevant to the applicable approval criteria, which are set out in the staff report. Just in case, since given the limited number of people here, it's not probably not going to be an issue, but if anybody wants to testify or has a question, you can hit the raise your hand button on the bottom of the screen. But given that it's the county and the appellant, we'll just go through the list that way. But the raise your hand button is available if there's any issues. That concludes my introduction, Ms. Ranchka.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hearings Officer. I'm going to first read the script, our typical opening script, which is still sort of reflective of the ongoing pandemic. So basically, Clackamas County is abiding by social distancing requirements during the coronavirus pandemic. So this public hearing will be conducted virtually using the Zoom platform. Panelists for today's hearing, which includes the hearings officer, county staff, and the applicant, have both audio and video capability. Audience members who have joined the meeting will have their mics muted unless they wish to testify, in which case they will be called upon to do so by the county staff moderator. Audience members' videos will not be turned on at any time. Today's hearing is being recorded as required by law. The county will make every effort to post the recording on the county website later today. There is a designated time during the hearing when it will be open for testimony. The hearings officer will make it clear when this is. If you want to provide testimony, you will utilize the raise hand feature. Attendees on PC and iPad, you have a raise hand button on the Zoom bar, top or bottom, depending on the device. When the moderator switches you over to provide testimony, your screen will look different for a little while. Primarily, you will see all participants' cameras, not just the one who is speaking. Staff will call upon you when it is time for you to provide testimony. Be sure to provide your name and mailing address when you begin. Once you have provided your testimony, your mic will be muted and your screen will be returned to normal. If the record is left open at the end of this hearing and you wish to submit additional written testimony, email written testimony to, and I didn't insert my email address, but everybody who's in attendance right now has my email address. As Joe noted, it's really just the four of us. But nonetheless, email it to me or send it to the Clackamas County Planning and Zoning Division at 150 Beaver Creek Road, Oregon City, Oregon, 97045. The staff contact email address is also available on the webpage where you found the Zoom link for today's hearing. Testimony must be received by 4 p.m. on the day the record closes. People who testify and provide their mailing address will receive a copy of the hearings officer's written decision. If you do not wish to testify but would like to receive the decision, you must provide your email or standard mailing address, either by email to the staff contact for the application or by entering it in the Zoom chat function during the hearing. Okay, so I'm now going to provide a little overview of the application and the staff report. And can you, everybody see the PowerPoint presentation?
Yep.
Okay, so basically it's file number Z0064-21-R. It's an appeal of a denial of a dock in the Willamette River Greenway in the limited use rural area. So the proposal is to install a 35-foot by 20-foot/700-square-foot private non-commercial dock and gangway within the limited use rural portion that is identified on comprehensive map 3-E, which is the Willamette River Greenway design plan. Per the cited subsection of the zoning ordinance and the cited policy of the comprehensive plan, Private non-commercial docks are prohibited in the limited use rural portion of map 3-1E. The applicant had been advised in conversations with them prior to the submittal, or perhaps during the course of the review, that the path, I'm sorry, the applicable path to change this regarding the prohibition of private non-commercial docks and limited use portion would be to submit for a comprehensive plan amendment to effectively remove that limited use symbolization on that comprehensive plan map 3-1E. Okay, so here is your approximate location there, just south of the Willamette River. You're somewhat, it's going to be east of Wilsonville. Down there, right here along the river. And of course, obviously, this is the Willamette River. And so there is, this is just general vicinity location overview. So again, just to kind of cite the basic bland facts, the ordinance section itself for the Willamette River Greenway prohibits private non-commercial docks in the cited comprehensive plan map. And then within the comprehensive plan itself, under section 17, which is the Willamette River Design Plan and Policies, it prohibits private non-commercial docks, et cetera, in the limited use rural portions of the Greenway. Okay, so here is essentially the map at hand. You've got, again, this is directly, this is an adopted map within the comprehensive plan for the Willamette River Greenway Design Plan. The you have this quite kind of in, obviously this is Wilson. Yeah, you can see here, of course. So this is Wilsonville. You have urbanization here. This map is an is a relatively old map. I think I have the date of it somewhere in the exhibit list. I don't recall the top hand, but anyway, you've got urban area here going out here to Oregon City and Westland, and then you've got some arrows. You can see that this little annotation here indicates that going this way is rural. So we're left to believe that essentially if you go this way, you're rural. You also see this annotation here of rural. So we're rural here. And then we have the approximate site area, which is pretty much the exact site area that's located. So this finding that staff is essentially making is that the water itself of the Willamette River, wherein the dock would be placed, is in this limited use zone. So that's just kind of an illustration slash depiction of what the map is telling us. Now, actually, you'll see this in a slightly later geo-reference drawing that I made. It's going to be a little bit clearer, but I believe what the applicant is saying is that as you move upland, and you really can't make it up on this, you really can't make it out very well on this slide, as you move just upland of the water from essentially the hatched limited use symbolization area, you come to a more thickly stippled area that I think it's the applicant may have outlined that it perhaps could be low intensity urban. Given that this is rural, I don't believe that it would be low intensity urban. However, it's more likely to be low intensity rural because we're obviously, we are not in an urban area per outline on this map, or generally speaking, even in today's terms, this is not an urban area. So, okay, so this is basically a detail that I geo-referenced in a GIS application in the ARC. I guess I can tell you that that this line, long story short, line up very well. I feel sort of confident the way I basically overlaid the tax lot base on top of the map itself. So I feel that the alignment here worked out well. And so you can see this detail here, the projection. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is the projection in my feeling in terms of any technical issues around georeferencing this map to create a little bit more of a detail. I believe we're fairly accurate, if not quite accurate, even given the relative oldness of the existing map. So anyway, that's just simply a long way of saying, I think this is a pretty nice georeference, fairly detailed map of where the subject area is. Here is the lot itself, basically. Here is the stippled area that is most likely low intensity rural. And then again, as you move into the water itself, you come to the symbolized limited use zone. So that's simply a detail of the previous summary of the application and the findings. So the conclusion really is nothing really in addition to what I've already said. You have an ordinance, you have a comprehensive plan policy and an implementing ordinance section that prohibits docks in the limited use zone. The recommendation from staff and essentially from our office in consultation with the planning director would be that the appropriate measure for removing the subject area from the limited use area would be by way of a comprehensive plan amendment. And so, am I stopping my share? Let's see. Okay. Okay, so that that would conclude the overview and presentation of the staff decision.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hanschke. I just had, now two questions. Is the low intensity designation, whether rural or urban, is that relevant to the issue before me, whether it's, see the other one, limited use rural or not?
So I don't believe that that's relevant. I think that the only relevant issue is the limited use. Let me just, if you don't mind, I look at my map one. I think that the relevant issue is that within the legend of the Willamette River design, the Willamette River Greenway design plan, there are, of course, the listing of uses, et cetera, et cetera. It would be a matter of not being located in the solely limited use area. And I don't think in the end, like you said, whether it would otherwise be low intensity rural, low intensity urban, multiple use, which if you, let me just do my, see which map are here.
I don't think there's any assertion that it's multiple use given the.
No. I certainly
okay.
agree.
No,
with
I just
that.
Wanted to make sure that's fine.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so let me just, if you look at the river itself, it's this business of, to the, you know, as one interprets this map, you have this very clear section here that is symbolized as limited use in the river itself. I would believe that would be the overlay or the use overlay, I guess, if you were that you would want to remove yourself in order to be not subject to these prohibitions on non-commercial docks. And so it would be any of those. And again, as you see, if you move up and down the river, you come to this. It's a different symbolization. It's not limited use. I guess I'm not going to try to interpret that for you. I think I determined that was probably multiple use. You obviously also have these stippled areas, these sort of upland stippled areas mm-hmm. that appear to indicate, again, to me, this would be rural, the low intensity rural, and et cetera. So anyway, does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. Let me get out of my share here. Okay. Come on. Got it.
Okay. The applicant noted that the properties upstream and adjacent neighbors have docks within that same designation, whatever that may be. Do you know when those docks were approved?
So that's not part of the formal record. No, I don't. But I had done like some prior looking into and research of that. And I believe that one or two was an alteration of a non-conforming use. So it would have been a replacement of a, I think that they all are pre-existing docks in that immediate area. Whether or not, and I don't know if the applicant's evidence also includes that, whether or not there was one that was cited by in that area by way of a comprehensive plan amendment, I don't know. There are docks that are further downstream, but not for a fact, that have been cited in other limited use zones as a result of comprehensive plan amendments.
And that those comprehensive plan amendments changed limited use to multiple use. Is that correct?
I think that was the case.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those were the only questions I had for staff.
Yeah, that would have to be. Yep. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Hanschke.
Yep.
Okay. It's the applicant's opportunity. And I know you're not Wendy Killington.
Yeah, so, yeah, again, I apologize for our technical issues.
Yeah, that's okay.
My name is Fred Wilson.
I thought so.
I'm with the Killington Law Group. Our business address is P.O. Box 159, Lake Oswego, Oregon, 97034. And it's, my last name is W-I-L-S-O-N. And we represent Everett Griffin, who is actually he's here with us today. If you have any questions, I don't think he's planning on testifying. And he is the applicant and the appellant in this case. First of all, I'd like to thank Mr. Hanschke for his work on the staff decision. We overwhelmingly agree with it. There's really just this one issue about the prohibited area that I think is in play. and I think actually Mr. Hanschke is kind of put in a tough spot trying to interpret this map because it's definitely confusing. And also, I think we're kind of two ships passing in the night. I don't think Mr. Hanschke knew our theory for why we think we're not in the prohibited area. And so when he made his decision, he didn't have benefit of any of our arguments. And also we thought we were in the area, so we probably didn't go into a whole lot of detail about that. And so the county thought we weren't, so they don't think they went into a great amount of detail about why we are in the prohibited area. And in fact, we didn't even learn until literally a couple of days ago, oh, this is why the county thinks that we're in the prohibited area. They only look at the water classification. And so, and just for background, my colleague, Ms. Mitchell, was the one who's been working on this case, filed the appeal form and prepared the PowerPoint presentation. But she's out of town this week, so I literally didn't even start looking at this until less than last week. So we did try to submit a letter last night and a PowerPoint. So just to check to see if those came through.
I have not seen them yet, Mr. Hanschke.
Okay, so yeah, so Fred, I saw I picked up your emails this morning that included both things, the PowerPoint presentation and then the letter also. I forward those on, I don't know, at approximately 8:45 to both Darcy and the hearings officer. So they're probably in their inboxes. In the meantime, I also have them on hand. I can, certainly I can open them and share them, but you probably would have that capability also. I mean, they are, so, and also what I said to you is that they will become part of the record. As soon as I get done with the hearing, I'll turn them into formal exhibits.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure they got through, especially the PowerPoint, such a large file sometimes.
Yeah, no, I got it. It was like 11 megabytes and it came through no problem. That's far under the limit for our email server.
Oh, okay. That's great.
And I will note, I do have a email from Mr. Hanschke. It's got a hearing memorandum.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't see it. Oh, there's, maybe it's a separate. Yep. I got both of them.
Okay. And actually, since we didn't realize exactly why the county was saying we were in the prohibited area. I think most of our PowerPoint, it's really going to the issue of, are we low intensity urban or low intensity rural? And I understood from Ms. Chaniska that, that the county doesn't really think that matters. They only look at the water. And then I wasn't sure a little bit the first day, but I think Ms. Chaniska clarified that at the end, that the county just looks at the water. And if we do look at the land, it really doesn't matter whether we're low intensity urban or low intensity rural. Either way, if we do look at the land, we would not be in the prohibited area. So I was getting a little ahead of myself. But so getting back to the actual application. Mr. Griffin just wants, the application is for a dock. He's in essentially a subdivision of about 10 properties. About half of them already have docks. His neighbor immediately upstream and immediately downstream have docks. There's a similar kind of subdivision a little bit upstream on the other side of the river with about 10 properties, and all of those have docks. So it wouldn't be out of place or stick out like a sore thumb. In fact, I don't think it would stick out at all. But that's where we are. And I think I don't think there's any dispute that if he's not in the prohibited area, he meets all the other approval criteria. I think staff decision lays that out really well. So we really just got this one singular issue. And so what we have to do is we have to decide, well, if you look at ZDO 70505B, it says that non-commercial docks, and I'm just going to say docks because I don't think the commercial non-commercial comes into play today. So just for brevity, the docks are not permitted in the limited use rural portions of the Greenway. So, and it says to look at comprehensive plan map, Roman numeral 3-1-E, I'm just going to call that the map. Look at the map to determine whether a property is in the limited use rural portion. It seems like that would be pretty easy. You just go look at the map and say, are you or aren't you? But when you look at the map, there's nothing that specifically sets out limited use rural. What the map does have, it has water classifications, which are limited use and multiple use, which just applies to the river itself. And there's no dispute here that we're next to a limited use part of the river. So if you're trying to determine whether it's limited use rural, we totally can see that it's limited use something. So the map also has land classifications, and it's got natural resource, low intensity rural, low intensity urban, high intensity urban. And then there's some, at the legend, there's some symbols for things like scenic vistas, access points, historic sites, things like that. And so the question is, when interpreting 70505B, when we look at that, how do we determine what is limited use rural? Especially when there isn't a specific area on the map or the legend that says limited use rural, how do we figure this out? And so the way the county is looking at this is they just look at the water. And so if it's limited use like it is here, that's the end of the story. Doesn't matter what the land is, you don't get a dock. And our argument, and I go through this all in the, it's like a 7-page hearing memorandum, Mr. Turner, that lays this all out. So I'm not really adding anything to that. Explain that we think you need to look at the land too. This is a Willamette River Greenway permit. It's not a Willamette River permit. And if you look at 70503, it talks about the area of application, basically, you know, where this applies to. And it talks about specifically the land and the water, not just the water. So we think you have to look at the land. And also just determining whether something's rural or not rural. I mean, water itself, a river, isn't rural or urban. It's just water. It's just flowing through. I think it depends what it's flowing through that determines whether you're in an urban or rural area. So we think you just have to look at the land. And then under ORS 174.010, you've got the whole don't omit what's been asserted, don't insert what's been omitted, give meaning to all the parts of the ordinance or statute, you know, all that. And we think if you just look at the river, all you're looking at is whether it's limited use or multi-use. And so that reads the rural part of limited use rural, reads that completely out of 70505B. It also reads the entire land classification part of the map out of the analysis. And this is really just the Willamette River Greenway Design Plan. That's what this map is for. So If it's got these land classifications, that must mean something. And so if you look at that, this is pretty straightforward argument, is we say look at the land, county say doesn't look at the land. And that's our reason for why, if you do the, you know, statutory analysis, or in this case ordinance analysis, you go through that to give meaning to everything, you have to look at the land as well. Again, I didn't really start thinking about this till this last couple of days. And so it was sort of gnawing at me. It's okay, we've got low intensity urban, low intensity rural, and a lot of credit to Mr. Hansa for agreeing that if we get to that point, it doesn't matter if it's low intensity urban or low intensity rural. That's a lot of integrity to go ahead and say that, rather just trying to, oh gosh, we want to deny this and we're going to take whatever position we can. So hats off to Mr. Hanscom on that. But it was occurring to me, it's like, well, if we've got this low intensity rural area, how is this different? And that's the shaded area. How is that different from the unshaded or the white area? It was just like, there's got to be a reason for that. And it sort of hit me. It's like, oh, wait, we've got, on Mr. Hanscom's map he showed, there's up by the West Lynn in Oregon City urban areas, there's the part that says rural and it's got some arrows, and those point basically just towards all the unshaded area. And so if you look at unshaded areas that are within the Willamette River Greenway, they're white. It's like, what are those? Are they, they're not low intensity rural. Are they no intensity rural? You know, what are they? And then it sort of hit me. It's like, wait a second. If they're next to the limited use part of the river, that's just limited use rural. And I was like, eureka. That's what we were trying to figure out. What's limited use rural? Limited use rural is the unshaded area in the Willamette River Greenway. And as I was, sort of felt like that was the missing piece of the puzzle and sort of our grand unified theory of the map. I don't think you have to agree with me on that part, although I think that ties everything together. I think really the issue just comes down to, do you look at only the river like the county says, or do you look at the river and the land like we say? And I don't think there's any way to determine whether something's urban or rural without actually looking. If you're going to determine whether land, which is, it's Mr. Griffin's land, is it urban or rural, you kind of have to look at the land and not just the river. So I'm not going to, we lay this out in our hearing memorandum, so I'm not going to pound that over and over again. But also I think this sort of makes sense too, because if you look at like this stretch of the river, then I can understand the county has an interest in not having docks proliferating through, you know, pristine undeveloped areas. But there are only a few of these shaded areas, I think three in this little stretch. And if you look at those shaded areas on the map and compare them to the development on the ground, those are these basically subdivision areas. It's Mr. Griffin's subdivision where about half the folks already have docks. It's the one upstream on the other side of the river, closer to Wilsonville. It's about 10 properties. And every single one of them has docks. And then there's another little area farther downstream. It's a smaller area, but those folks have docks too. So if you agree with our interpretation, it's not like this is going to open the floodgates for, you know, it's not going to be like Oprah, you know, you get a dock, you get a dock, you get a dock. It's like, I think you could probably count on one hand how many people would get docks under this interpretation. So from that sort of 30,000 foot view, I think it makes sense. Again, I don't think we need to go through our PowerPoint because most of that has to do with whether it's limited urban rural or low intensity urban or low intensity rural. We talk about, you know, vagueness and things like that. Again, I don't think there's any reason to get to that with the way this has been set up now. Unless you have a different interpretation than the county and us, then that might come into play. But otherwise, I think you can probably not have to look at most of what we put in that. Although there are some good pictures that show, you know, where the docks are and whether other docks are as well. In conclusion, there doesn't seem to be any dispute that we meet all the other approval criteria. Don't think there's any dispute that we're in some sort of shaded area. And honestly, it's really hard to tell from this map whether it's low intensity urban or low intensity rural. I think if you can't tell normally the applicant has the burden, but here it's more like almost like an affirmative defense. So I think it would switch. But again, I don't. I think Mr. Hansk and I both agree it doesn't really matter if we're low intensity urban or low intensity rural. And so since we are not in the low intensity rural, which is the white unshaded areas, we're not in the prohibited area. We meet all of the other approval criteria. So we would respectfully ask that the hearings officer approve the application. And that pretty much concludes our presentation. We'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Can you give me that last summary real quick? That the it's not low intensity rural and is not some, because they're so close, low intensity and limited use. So I keep getting back, switching back and forth in my head.
I know.
Can you give me that one again?
Yeah. So our position is that we are either, our position is we're low intensity, limited use. Everything's going to be limited use in this context. So, but we're limited use, low intensity urban. It's possible, since it's really hard to tell on the map, that we could be low intensity rural. But I think Mr. Hansk and I both agree that that doesn't really matter. We're in some sort of shaded area. And so the limited use rural, just sort of limited use plain old rural, that is in, which is the prohibited area under 705.05b, that is just the white unshaded area in the greenway on the map.
Okay, thank you. It may not matter given what we've talked about with the, get my terms straight here. Low intensity urban and low intensity rural question may not matter, but just in case it does, when I zoom in on the map that the county, the electronic copy that the county provided me, in the urban area, which is at north, at this map seems to have two separate sections of river. There's the lower section, lower part of this plan map that shows Westland Oregon City, Westland Urban, and then Oregon City Urban at the, I guess it'd be the northern end of the river. And then there's a separate section that shows Westland, Lake Oswego, Milwaukee, Gladstone, clearly urban, I assume, just given that those are cities. When I zoom in on Westland, Lake Oswego section, the hashed marks there appear to be larger than the hash marks in the on the site and on the other map, which is in the, you know, the downstream from the urban area, the urban growth boundary. Do you disagree with that? Do you have, is that in your PowerPoint? Just in case it's an issue, I want to give you the chance to respond.
Yeah, so if I understand you correctly, you're talking about the sort of the area like right with that big sort of dashed line where Westland Urban and Oregon City Urban is?
No, it's the section north of that, or above so that. It's not, I don't know where it is in north-south, but there we go. On this map that's on the screen now, it shows Lake Oswego, Milwaukee, Westland, and Gladstone in this, yeah, right where you're, if I zoom in on those shaded areas of the up of the land, there are no shaded areas in the water there, it appears. Those hash marks, and I zoom in on the lower map, basically on the site, the hash marks on Lake Oswego West Lynn appear quite larger than the hash marks in the on the site that indicate low intensity.
Okay, so
more urban. So it appears to me that if that's an issue, this site appears to be low intensity rural based on those hash marks that are on the land.
So I might have to ask Mr. Hansk about this, but so on that Milwaukee to Gladstone stretch, the part with all the hash marking, is that, I thought that would be the river, except for maybe the part in the very top left.
Let's see. If you can hang on here, perhaps I can.
And sorry, I'm looming in on everybody. I have a small laptop okay. here. So.
That's okay.
No, that's totally fine, because believe me.
I have a zoomed in, I just took a screenshot when I looked at this. if I can figure out how to share my screen.
I'm pretty sure I have. I can. I
okay,
can,
I'll let you do it then. I will screw something up.
Let's see. All right, let's see. I can do two things. I can start by sharing. All right, so actually, I'm going to switch to. Come on, dude. Okay, so
there we go.
I guess only since I'm kind of controlling the hand, I think perhaps the hearing software is referring to what I would call shaded or stippled areas.
Yes.
Is that okay?
And Wilson's arguing that is the river, not the land. So if I'm reading, am I reading that wrong, that is the river, not the land? It's hard to tell what's the river, what's what.
Yeah, and quite frankly, I'm not going to be able to tell you either.
Okay.
Honestly, I'm not. I'm sorry. You know.
Okay. I mean, well, hopefully the. Low intensity issue isn't going to be an issue.
Exactly. So, I mean, I guess to the extent that it is unclear where the river is on this particular map, I mean, I think. Well, anyway, I won't even try.
Okay.
But regardless, to me, this would line up with the low intensity urban. My suspicion has always been that this would have to be an upland area because you're not going to designate something on this map that's low intensity urban that's in the river. So that would be my suspicion, because it's sort of similar to way it would be symbolized down here, where you have, there seems to be different symbolization. It's the river itself, of course, is much clearer here on this map.
Mm-hmm.
And so there seems to be a distinction in the symbolization between the river itself and then these few upland areas. So you have symbolization here in the, sorry, I'm going to have a phone that's going to ring. Apologize.
All right. One of the joys of working at home.
Yeah, actually, I got special permission to work from home today because I'm better set up for. So you have the river itself is separately symbolized with limited use here, and then multiple use here. You can kind of distinguish between the limited use and then the multiple use. Again, if you're focusing for a second only on the symbolization of the river itself, then you get the limited use, multiple use. And then you get also, as I say, there's this different upland symbolization that would be my conclusion would be that it would be low intensity rural, because you can't really have any upland low intensity. I mean, it wouldn't make any sense to have low intensity urban in a rural area. At the same time, as if I can just this is obviously I was going to say the hearing officer, having worked with Fred and Pat of the Harry Potter. This is obviously appears to reflect that little subdivision, developed subdivision that has this stippled non-limited use, overlaying the land itself. I guess, and this is only to clarify the applicant's argument, not objectively only, but I was just, since I'm detailed into the map, I was just sort of showing that.
Okay.
So anyway, I can stop. Anything else? I can stop this and.
Mr. Wilson, anything? Do you want to respond to my comment, and then we'll go back to Mr. Hanska to respond to your testimony?
Sure. Again, I think some of the materials we already submitted, like the appeal form and then the PowerPoint, kind of go through this and sort of make the point that just because the zoning might be rural doesn't mean you can't have an urban use. And I think we included a map from the Sandy River that has some low intent. I mean, that map you can tell better, I believe. It shows some areas that are low intensity urban that are outside of the city, so that it is possible that it can be that.
Okay.
We also go through the whole Curry County thing, you know, where you look at the use, not the zoning, to see whether something is, and we kind of walk through how, I mean, this is, you know, half acre, 10 half acre lots. I mean, if you wanted to do this from scratch, you would definitely have to get a Goal 14 exception because it would be considered an urban use. And so, so that's sort of a point that this could be urban, low intensity urban. Again, I think just today it sort of illustrates how difficult it is to tell exactly what that is. But in the end, I think Mr. Hanska and I both agree that's not something you have to decide unless you really want to. So
yeah,
I would suggest let's not go there. But
I hope not. just in case, because I haven't read your argument in your PowerPoint. I'm hoping it is not an issue.
Yeah. So yeah, that would only be our fallback if that became an issue. So
okay.
I think for us, either, you know, you look either at the only look at the river, in which case county wins, or you look at the river and the land, in which case we win. So that I think sums us up our position.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Mr. Hanska, do you have response to Mr. Wilson's argument?
You know, honestly, Mr. Hanska, I really don't. I guess I would say, A, if there are any questions or issues or information that I could somehow better clarify in terms of our position, which again is simply boiled down to very basic interpretation of the water, that the subject area for the dock itself is in the limited use section of the water itself. You know, again, I guess in the larger, just sort of general, I guess in just sort of the sense of commentary, it would certainly seem to indicate that there is a lack of clarification potentially with this issue. And potentially, you know, it's certainly open to various types of interpretation. I mean, I wouldn't agree. I wouldn't at all sort of disagree with that whatsoever. So I guess what I'm kind of saying is I'm sticking to a sort of what would I suppose be construed as a narrow finding and conclusion by the county that it's in that limited use area.
Okay.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I was just going to say, if there's anything further that I can clarify, however, I'm more than happy.
Does the code or the comp plan discuss or use the term low intensity urban and low intensity rural designation?
Let me go back to the slide here real quick.
I'm clearly on the map.
Yeah.
And then there's areas that are not designated at all that are.
So the only discussion that I have been able to find of any of this is, is simply you have in the ordinance, in the implementing ordinance of Greenway, you simply have this reference to it. That's the only thing that I can find that speak of limited use and the comprehensive plan that, and then in the policy, literally this is all that I have been able to find, is this particular page of the comprehensive plan that would discuss these issues.
Okay. So yep. Low intensity urban, low intensity rural, and high intensity urban don't appear as
right.
far as we know. Okay.
Exactly. As far as we know.
That's what I was afraid of.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, I have to agree with the prior hearings officer in the Kenemer decision that this map is awful. We'll have to deal with it and interpret it how we're Mr. Wilson, any response from the applicant?
No, just we did want to point out or make sure that last time we checked, there was the only comments were a couple of comments from neighbors that were in favor of the dock. There was no opposition. Just want to make sure that was still correct.
Yeah, so what I wanted to add was, so A, I'd forgotten to include those comments as exhibits, so I'm going to turn those into exhibits. Again, they're essentially just fairly basic comments of support, and that's okay. It. Without the raising of any of this sort of substantive issues, just that they're okay with having the dock. Yeah. And then number two, I had a question also. Fred, do you want your PowerPoint as an exhibit anyway? Which I'm happy to do so.
Yeah, that would be great. In the hopefully unlikely event we have to get into low intensity urban low intensity rural.
Okay, so that means so up to this point, essentially what you'll have is you'll have sort of a retroactive exhibit of these two comments that I literally forgot to turn into exhibits, and then I'll. There will be the two, there'll be the PowerPoint presentation and the submittal by Wendy Killington's office, both of which were forwarded to the hearing software, and they'll become exhibits.
Okay,
thanks. Oh, and I guess our very last thing is my colleague, Ms. Mitchell, did the math, but she was under the impression that the 150 days would run 2 weeks from today. I think the county is thinking later. But I think since the application was actually complete when it was submitted, that's when the clock would start. But either way, Mr. Griffin has no intention or desire to mandamus the county. But I know generally you're supposed to have decisions out within 3 weeks of the record being closed. And if it did, the 150 days did run 2 weeks after that. We want to make sure you have enough time. So if it is necessary, we'd be more than happy to extend the 150 days for however long you need. So we just wanted to put that out there in case that issue didn't come up. Or, all of a sudden you guys recalculated and went, oh no. So we just want to make sure that hearing officer has enough time to do this.
I appreciate that, Mr. Wilson. Do you want to submit a final argument on behalf of the applicant?
No, I think we're good having the record closed. I think that the hearing memorandum that I kind of went through today, that lays everything out. Again, I appreciate Mr. Hanska being so stand up and agreeing that this is really what the issue is, river versus river and land. So I don't think there's anything else that we'd have to add.
Okay, thank you. By your calculations, the 150 days will expire in 2 weeks from today, roughly.
That Ms. Mitchell's math is probably better than mine, and that is what she came up with. So
okay, yeah, if you would be willing to extend it for another week, just so the county has time. I think I can get the decision out within 2 weeks without any problem. But if we're that close, I want to give the county time to issue it officially.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you need more, that's fine too.
Thanks. I think one additional week should be fine. Yeah. I appreciate that.
I have 8/12/21 on the completeness form as the 150 day deadline.
I think you guys sent a letter saying it was deemed complete, but we'd submitted it before that.
Okay.
So anyway, we're not, no one's mandating, so.
Right. I think we're safe with the extension. I can definitely get this out within 2 weeks or three at the maximum. Good timing with other open records and things. So I've got some time to do this right now. I'll close the hearing then, and I'll close the record. The applicant has waived the right to submit a final argument, and I will take this under advisement. I want to look through the applicant's written the memorandum and the PowerPoint, and hopefully that won't be PowerPoint won't be an issue, and I'll make a decision and issue that within 3 weeks at the most. The county will get it out within 3 weeks, and that concludes our hearing. Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you to all very much also as well. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks.